Welcome to another David McCracken Ministries podcast. We hope this message inspires and encourages you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who's ready for the word? Good, then I'm preaching to you. If you're not ready for the word, I'm still preaching to you. But your receiving is up to you. Amen. I woke up in the middle of the night, I thought we were going somewhere different this morning, Mark and Tara. God, I had things bubbling over the last few months. But when the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night and I saw this picture and he just gave me the key things that were so clear, I knew God had spoken. He said, this is for Sunday morning. So as Mark said, I haven't preached this elsewhere. This is fresh manna from the oven of heaven. Smell it. It's good, isn't it? It's good. It's going to be good for you. It's going to be good for me. Strap your seatbelts in, lock the doors. No one leaves until we're finished. Everyone say, this is for me. Everybody say, this is for me. I receive it in Jesus' name. So here's what I saw, the picture I saw in the middle of the night. And then come on a journey and let us unpack it and see what God is speaking to the church. I saw a seed being planted in the soil that was growing. Everyone say growing. Everyone say growing. I see a seed being planted that was growing into a strong and a healthy tree. First, I saw roots growing down. Then I saw a trunk growing up. Then I saw branches growing out. And this morning, as I was reading through this and just meditating, this is what I heard the Lord say. My question is not, what is your spiritual state? My question is not, where are you at right now spiritually? My question is, how is your spiritual growth? I pray you heard what I just said. It's not where am I at spiritually, but how is my spiritual growth? Because the picture I saw were roots growing down. I saw a seed being planted that grew into a strong and healthy tree. Roots grew down, trunk grew up, branches grew out. And then finally, I saw lots of fruits on this tree. How many people want that part? Come on. Come on, be interactive with me. We want that part, right? We want the fruit. We want much fruit. We want great fruit. We want the 30. We want the 60. We want the 100. No one here wants to be fruitless. Come on, church. We want to be fruitful. But I saw the seed being planted. I saw it growing into a strong tree. I saw the roots growing down. I saw the trunk growing up. I saw the branches growing out. And then I saw the fruit. And then I heard these words. This is your call back. And I believed Jubilee Christian Center, and I actually believe this is a message for the body of Christ, what I'm about to bring. But it's for you right now as a church. Right now where you are in 2024, looking ahead, I believe I'm going to give language to your focus and next steps, okay? So I'm prophesying like that. But this is your call back to what we're about to bring. So are you ready to open God's word? Wonderful. Let's just read a couple of verses and then I'm going to speak into, put up the title there so we've got that up there. Today, what the Lord said to me from the middle of the night was deeper, stronger, further. Deeper, stronger, further. Because that's the picture I saw. The seed that grew up into a strong tree, I saw the roots growing down deeper. And I saw the trunk growing up stronger. And I saw the branches growing out further. And the word of the Lord says that must happen before you see the fruit. And I'm going to tell you what each of those three things are because he revealed what they are for you as a church. But before we do that, let's go to John chapter 15, verse 5. Very, very well known. Anyone doing okay? That's wonderful. John 15, verse 5. How many people know this verse? Three of you. Okay, start reading your Bible, church. John 15, verse 5. This is Jesus speaking. I know I'm direct. I'm under no illusions. But I am so unashamedly. Because veiled suggestions, if you feel like it, has never helped a single believer. Jesus didn't come and say, hey, I'm going to do a really cool thing on the earth. If you want, I'd be honored if you would like to be in on the ground roots. But I know you got lots to do, so think about it, pray about it, go and talk to your mum and dad. And if you want to, come be a part of it. I'll make sure you got a position. There's nothing subtle. There's nothing. The Lord spoke to me a little while ago and said, I'm a God of commands, not a God of suggestions. It's not the 10 suggestions. Come on. It's not the 10 suggestions. Do you know when Jesus said, follow me? It wasn't a suggestion, it was a command. Now, whether we got free will, we can choose whether we do it or not. But understand, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. There's only one way to the Father, through Jesus. Can I hear an amen to that? That you can't come another way. How about I go through Buddha? That will work for me. Won't work for him. Might not be politically correct, it's biblically correct. And God is calling the church back to be a people that follow the commands of God. Let's go to John 15, 5. Jesus speaking said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Who's the vine? Who's the branches? I am the vine, you are the branches. God is the main part, not us. Come on, we grow from God. God doesn't grow from us. God preceded us. We didn't precede God. I didn't choose God. God chose me. God appointed me. While I was a sinner, Christ died for me. It starts with God. In the beginning, God, not in the beginning, Steve. Anybody else? Come on. Maybe you need to wake up some mornings and go, in the beginning, God. That's right. This is God. This is your day. This is the day that you have made. Come on, this is the day that you have made. This is your day. Today is the day of salvation. I'm the vine, you're the branches, Jesus said. Let's get that order right. And that's what I want you to get from that verse right now. We're going to come back to this verse later. But for right now, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branch. I'm the main part, not you. Let's go down. I'll read more of it later. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, again, quite a well-known verses of the Bible. Psalm 1, 1 to 3 says, blessed is the one who does not. Who wants to be blessed? It's not rhetorical. Who wants to be blessed? I know I'm pushing you to open your mouth, but that's okay because the devil wants to shut your mouth. Come on. Life and death is in the power of your thoughts. Sorry, I got that wrong. Life and death is in the power of your emotions. Sorry, your circumstances. Some of you actually know your Bible. Life and death is in the power of your. The Bible says that all God's promises, they are yes in Christ. They exist in God. And now the amen, the let it be. God, yes, 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 Lord, I agree, is spoken by us to the glory of God. The devil, he can argue all he likes in here, but man, he's powerless when you start to say, it is written, I agree, I accept it, I come into alignment. So today, if it's in your heart, let it come out of your mouth while we preach the word. Because I tell you right now, you'll be prophesying to yourself. You'll be speaking something in the spirit realm. In Jesus' name, Psalm 1 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on the law day and night. That person, which person? The person that meditates on God's word day, night, day and night, saturated and thinking about it, speaking it out, coming into agreement, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water. Come on, we all quote this scripture, I'm a tree planted. You're not if you're not abiding in God's word. That person is a tree. Come on, we got to stop claiming the promises of God outside of the conditions of the promises. Come on, it's the same in our homes and in our families. The kids want something. Well, if you do this, if you clean your room, then we'll go here. Or if you do this. Now, if they don't do that, they shouldn't get this. It's bad parenting. They didn't do it, but I'll give it to you anyway. Come on. It went a bit quieter then. There's sowing, there's reaping. There's seeking, there's finding. There's conditions and there's promise. There's promises and there's conditions. He said, the person who meditates on my word day and night, that person shall be like a tree that is planted, not like tumbleweed going down the, blowing down the road, but planted, which yields fruit in season. It will happen. It will happen. It will happen. It will happen, but you got to be planted. Blessed are those who are planted in the house of the Lord. But those people are the ones that meditate day and night. We are meditating on the rubbish of the world and not the power of the word. Rick Warren, the Purpose Driven Life, says, if you know how to worry, then you know how to meditate. Because both are just focused thinking. The Lord said to me repeatedly, he said it out of my mouth two or three times this weekend already, but he's been saying it over and over. He says, Steve, not everything that gets your attention should be given your attention. Not everything you see, you should think about. Not everything you read, you should study. Come on. Some of us know more about what's happening in the world than what is being said in God's word. We need to anchor ourselves back to the foundation of God's word. You want to be a mature believer, get into God's word, because that person shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. I saw a seed and I saw the roots growing down and the trunk growing up and the branches growing out. And then I saw much fruit. That person is a person who meditates day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. Worry comes, but what does God's word say? Come on. Persecution comes, but what does God's word say? Sickness comes, but what does God's word say? Anxiety comes. What does God's word say? Which yields fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do shall prosper. That sounds pretty good. I feel there's a holiness in the room, anybody? A holy weight of God. That's because you and this church and the church is too important to our Father in heaven for us to play games, feel good, and go home unchanged. Deeper, stronger, further. So what does Father want us to call us all back to today? Let's get into this. The first one, deeper. Lord spoke to me very, very clearly. Deeper is discipleship. The roots growing down, that's discipleship. Here's the starting point of discipleship. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Matthew 4, 19. This is Jesus speaking. He said, come, follow me. Come, follow me. Can we go back to simple? Can we go back to foundational? Can we go back to truth? I just hear the Lord say right now, I don't care how much you know. I care how much you grow. I don't care how much you know. Steve McCracken, I don't care how much you know. I care how much you grow. You do not grow outside of discipleship. And the starting point is come follow me. Come follow me. and then I'll send you out to fish your people. We'll come back to that later. But this is interesting. I saw this recently. How many people in here say, I follow Jesus Christ? If you do, put out your hand like you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you follow Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. As most of the people in this room, wonderful. Even some of you is not. Can we go there? I've got the microphone, so we'll go in there. Some of us follow Jesus, are grateful He saved us, and just putting our hand up is so difficult. And He hung on a cross for us. I want to say something to you that's going to be very challenging, but I want you to listen to me in the spirit. If we struggle to put up a hand to say that we follow Jesus in a church with people that follow Jesus, you will never share your faith out there. We got to get over ourselves, people. We got to get out. Steve, this is hard. This is gospel. This is gospel. Come on. Because the starting point is come, follow me. That's the starting point. Now, this is what I saw during the, just since Father downloaded this to me in the middle of the night. I want you to get this. He said the next step was a clarification to those who had been following Jesus for a while. See, he called Peter, James, John, Andrew. He called them, come follow me. And what did they do? They left everything and they just started following him, right? To the ones who were following him, to the ones who had confessed that we believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, to the ones who were already working miracles, to the ones who were already part of Jesus' ministry, to the ones who were committed to discipleship, we have a moment in don't put this up yet, in Matthew 16 and verse 22 and 23, where Jesus starts to describe that he must go to the cross and he must suffer. And then you have Peter, who was called to follow Jesus, say, you will not go to the cross. And we hear the famous words of Jesus, get behind me, Satan. You're meant to be following me right now, not leading me. This is a revelation that Father downloaded to my precious wife, and it was a game changer. We're called to follow. Peter's saying, that's not going to happen. That's called leading. That's why, get behind me, Satan, because you do not have in mind the things of God, but merely human concerns. And the Lord Jesus says, and you can put this up now, in Matthew 16, 24, he is speaking to the disciples that left everything to follow him. He says, I need to bring a clarification, and I feel a Holy Ghost preach coming on right now. I am saying to everyone that just put up your hand and says, I am following. Jesus says, I need to bring a clarification of what I mean when I say follow me. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple, you must start by denying yourself. And then you must take up your cross and then follow me. If we are not denying ourselves and if we are not taking up our cross, then we are not following Jesus. He put it at the end, and it was a clarification to those who had already started following. Are you hearing the word of the Lord? I heard the Lord say, if we are doing everything that we want to do, then we are not following Jesus. Some people, it's like me and God are like this. Man, we're so in sync, but it's just so beautiful because it's like everything, it's just spot on. If your will is not being crossed regularly by God, then you and I are not following. Very quiet in church right now. And it should be. This is weighty. This is to me, church. Many times, we live in a culture that is preached so loudly in the world, you can be who you want to be. Come on. You can do what you want to do. Mate, you are so powerful. Now you can, if you want to be male, be male. If you want to be female, you do you. Can I say it's not a gender issue? This is a spiritual issue. This is a lordship issue. This is a lordship issue. I don't care. It's okay. It doesn't matter if you want to be married, male, male, female. You choose. Let me tell you, says Jesus, your starting point is deny yourself. I will say no to myself. If the word of God declares something is right, then I have no right to tamper with God's word. My starting point is acceptance, not modification. It's embrace, it's not diminish or dampen down. It's not time to debate God's word, it's time to follow and obey God's word. You are my friends if you do what I say. You follow me. Okay, let me remind you, Peter, because you tried to lead me just now. No, I lead you. You don't lead me. Deny yourself. But if I do that, man, there's going to be persecution. You better believe the way I preach, there's some opposition. There's some opposition. There's been some intense opposition recently. But if I follow God, I've got to deny myself and I've got to take up my cross. There's nothing easy about a cross. There's nothing comfortable about dying on a cross. But that's what Jesus Christ did for us. And our roots growing down. It's not going down, it's growing down. Our roots grow down. They don't just go down. They're not magically just go from 1 centimeter to 10 inches. It grows down, increment, moment by moment. Whoa, anyone receiving the word of the Lord? So Lord, help me to follow you. Discipleship is not just a New Testament good idea. It's the mandate for the church right now. Go and make disciples, not just followers, not just Christians, not just believers. Followers, followers. Followers. The second thing is stronger. This is the trunk growing up. And the Lord said to me, that's perseverance. Come on, we're talking about what will result in the abundant fruit. It's discipleship. I'm growing down. Can I just say to you, every person in this room, you cannot do discipleship by yourself. That's not discipleship. Jesus chose 12, not one. Iron sharpens iron. The body fitly joined together, supplying everything the Bible needs. If you walk with people and we walk together and no one is challenged and no one is corrected and no one is called up and say, hang on, That language, that's not of God. Come on, come on, that attitude. You know, come on, that unforgiveness. Come on, we need to forgive like Jesus forgave us. If there's none of that in our lives on the receiving and the giving, then we're not disciples. Well, my Christian walk is my Christian walk. We sat with someone just recently. When asked about their walk, they go, no, I don't talk to people about that's between me and God. Hello? Hello, Jesus didn't die privately. We are not too called to live privately. We are not called to do discipleship privately. It's public, it's community, and the starting point of true discipleship is what do you do when your will is crossed or challenged by the one who is discipling you. If you only do what you're instructed in discipleship because you agree, then that's called agreement, not discipleship. I'm going hard because I'm here to make disciples. Jesus, look at what Jesus said. I think a nicer thing for Jesus to have said to Peter in that moment was, hey, Peter, I love your heart, mate. I love your heart. I'm so glad that you don't want me to go to the cross. I don't want to go either. I get your heart. Thank you for looking out for me. How many people would like vote me in for Jesus? Only in the last 30 seconds, not the last 20 minutes, right? But that could have been really nice. He goes, get behind me, Satan. Why are you hitting it so hard? Because we need to understand this is not a game. This is not a game. This is not a game. Paul says, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. So I'm going to honor God with my life. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. If we are not ones who can submit to the authority above us as unto the Lord, Colossians says, then it's clear evidence that I still live, not Christ who lives in me. Corpses don't fight. I'm dead to that. Last thing on this. Sally and I have been ministering for a long time. I'm 50 now. We had the privilege of leading a lot of people, ministering into a lot of people, pastors and leaders that receive from us. The reason I'm telling you that is this. We are still in discipleship. We still have our roots growing down. We catch up regularly with my mum and dad, David and Margaret McCracken, who some of you know or have heard of. They've ministered in this church, Dad, many years ago. But he's a general of the faith. He's our natural father, our spiritual father. He's our apostolic overseer. Side. And to this day, as one who leads others, if my dad says, hey, I've been looking at this or that, I've heard this, I don't think that's right. I want you to change that. Even when it comes to our ministry schedule, you know what? I want you to cut that back. You're too busy. I want you to get more rest margin. And from time to time, he does this. This is what we do. Okay. Do you know why? Because the authority you're under determines the authority you're able to carry. Unsubmitted Christians are dangerous Christians. I will not give them a microphone and I won't listen to their opinion. Because I need people that are under authority. This is what discipleship is. They came under the authority of Jesus. And then they led other people who were sons and daughters in the faith. That's why your spiritual parents who disciple, raise them up, raise them up, raise them up. But what happens if they get there wrong? What if I submit to a leader and they get it wrong? I got to submit to God, not the leader. You don't understand the Bible. You submit to every authority as unto the Lord. And this is what happens when you submit to someone, even when God tells you to do something and you submit to them as unto the Lord, like the Bible says, then God says, I release you from your responsibility. Now I hold them responsible. It's powerful. Do you know how liberating it is to me? As a 50-year-old minister who travels, to know that if my dad ever says something corrective, that if I receive it, see, I don't have to try to work it out, but what happens if it doesn't, what happens if God needed it to be done and I don't do it, and what happens? No, I don't even think like that. I think, thank you, God, I've got people in my life that watch out for my life and watch out for my soul and will help me to stand before God and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank God I got people who love me enough to correct me and to speak into me. Thank God I got people that are willing to say things that may not even be right or wrong, but it gives me an opportunity to check my character and motivation. Thank you, Lord. But we kick against the very thing God has gifted us to refine us and make us more like Jesus. I'm calling us as a church to grow deeper through discipleship. Which happens with submission. We need to grow stronger and we need to keep on going because we've only got 3 hours left. Stronger is the trunk growing up, which is perseverance. Everyone say that lovely word, perseverance, with me. Say it again like you're not having a seizure. I remember a lot of time only recently, a couple of years ago, I'm crying out to God. I kid you not, this is my conversation with God. God, I want it to be easier. Anybody? Instant reply from the Lord. I want you to be stronger. Ephesians 6 verse 10. Hurabashakianda. Ephesians 6 verse 10. Finally. Some of you go, that's what I want with this sermon. Finally. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in your emotions, your mind, your circumstances, your feelings. No, be strong in the Lord, and in His mighty power. And I heard the Lord say to me, Steve, if you're not strong, maybe it's because you're not in the Lord. You might say, I'm saved. Of course I'm in the Lord. Okay, let's go back to our opening verse, John 15, verse 5. John 15, verse 5. This is Jesus speaking, and He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. These are to the ones who are born again. These are to the ones that are following Him. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches, if you remain in me. Come on, church. Come on, church. Go with me. Go with me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you. Of course I will, God. No. Sometimes, Steve, you are in me. You're in the Spirit. Sometimes, Steve, you're still in the flesh. Come on. Let's get really real. In a single conversation, sometimes I can be Spirit, flesh, Spirit, flesh. Anybody else? Don't look at me holier than thou. Sometimes you know that someone's is really irritating you and you're in the Spirit and it's like a gentle answer turns away wrath. Other times it's like, I'll give you a gentle answer. Right between the eyeballs. Come on. Don't look at me like you're all perfect and holy and sanctified. Our strength comes when we remain in Him. Because He said, I promise you, I'll never leave you. I wonder if we need to make that same commitment to Him. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. God says, this growing, the trunk going up, this stronger, this perseverance, it happens. Remain in me, I in you, be strong in me. This is when we respond to God and don't react to people. I get myself in trouble. Some of you can believe that would happen a little bit. I get myself in trouble when I react to people. I have the smile of God when I respond to God. And when I respond to God, I still get persecuted by people at times. So don't measure how your response to God measured by what actually happens to you. Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. He responded to God and he ended up being crucified. But he also ended up being raised from the dead. Come on, Easter coming up, Easter coming up. Thank God Sunday's coming. Thank God that the resurrection is there. But it happened by Him persevering. Come on, sweating drops of blood, wrestling even with God. It's okay to wrestle with God, but make sure you finish your wrestle with not my will, but yours be done. And then I heard the Lord say to me, and I'm actually almost done. I heard that nervous laugh. I heard this statement because my wife will testify, I know nothing about trees, plants, nature. Oh, it's like, I'm like here from Madagascar. Nature, it's all over me. Get it off. No, just joking. I heard this phrase, trees grow towards the sun. So I said, it's like, are you saying physically that's what happens? And I just felt God say, yeah, have a look at it. And I had a look, and it says, trees do not sense which way is up. Rather, their growth follows the direction from which light comes. It's called phototropism. It's an actual physical thing that plants, trees grow towards the sun. Come on. It's for good reason that we're told to fix our eyes on the sun. If you're struggling with perseverance, come on, be strong in the Lord. Are you getting the picture, people? I'm struggling. Well, then I've got to be in the Lord. God, I need to fix my eyes. What's the context of that? Seeing as we are surrounded by such a greater cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin. Come on, let's get rid of it all. And let us run with perseverance the race that's been marked out for us. Let us run with perseverance. Perseverance. You don't need perseverance unless you need perseverance. Are you getting the word? Run with perseverance the race marked out. How do I do that? Come on, fix your eyes to the sun because the trunk will grow up towards the sun. This is getting stronger. God, I want it easier, but Steve, I want you stronger. Let's go to the last one further. This is the branches growing out, and this is evangelism, mission. Which one? They are the same. What's my mission? Mission. It's the same as Jesus. Luke 19:10. Luke 19:10 says this, for the Son of Man, talking about Jesus, why did he come? Why did the Son of Man, why did Jesus come to earth? Come on, read it together. For the Son of Man came, come on, read it three more times. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Read it again, get it into you. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. One more time. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's why he came. That's why he came. God did not come to build strong churches. He came to seek and to save the lost. From out of that, they will grow strong. We got to shift our focus from coming to church to going to the lost. Let's go back to the opening, one of the other opening verses in Matthew 4:19. Remember, we start the starting point of discipleship is following Jesus. And this is what it says. For the come, follow me, said Jesus. Read the next part. Come follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. Get the word of the Lord. Get the word of the Lord. Remember how God says, I need to bring a clarity. Oh, Jesus, I hear you right now. Jesus brought a clarification to follow me to the ones who had been following him in part of his ministry. Remember, he brought that clarification. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. And then you're actually following me. If you're not doing that, then you're not following me. Remember that clarification with discipleship and following? He says, I need to bring another one right now. Come follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. That's why I came and that's why I am actually discipling you. I'm not discipling you to go to heaven. I'm discipling you to go and to seek and save the lost. I am sending you out to fish for people. And evidence that we are following Jesus is that we are fishing for people. I follow Jesus and never tell anyone about Jesus, then you're not following. And the Western church needs to come back to God's priority. We leave churches because we don't like churches and we're not fishing for people. Shame on us. God, take that shame off and give a holy fire, passionate burning. Give us compassion for the lost. Give us a heart that says, God, lost people matter to God. Therefore, lost people will matter to me. And if they don't, God, grip my heart. Forgive me for my selfishness. God, I want people to come with me to heaven. I wonder if the first thing that God will say to many of us is, how many people did you bring with you? Whoa. Jesus. I saw a picture in Sydney. I was ministering 2 weeks ago in Sydney and I saw this picture. So I wonder if you'd just come up on the keys for a moment. Just stay with me, church. I saw a picture, I was ministering in Sydney, and this gripped me so strong. And the Lord brought it back to my memory for us here today. and I saw a street signpost that was covered by some foliage. I want you to get the pictures. Have you ever seen a street sign? I've seen it even on the freeway by where we live there in Melbourne. You come on the freeway and there's a sign there, but the trees have grown over you. So therefore, you can't see the sign. Anyone know what I'm talking about? You've ever seen a sign? And therefore, you question, what does that say? And I saw this picture and the Lord said to me two things. The effectiveness of a signpost is its visibility. If you can't read the sign, you can't follow the sign. And the Lord showed me what is the purpose of a signpost. Is to point to a destination. What is the point of my life? As a sign, as the one who is called to be salt and light and minister of reconciliation, just like you are. As one who is called to follow and then be sent out to fish for people to go and make disciples. Come on, church. What is our purpose? It is a signpost that points people to God, but not just to point people to God, point people to God in such a way that we set them up to follow God and to know God. And the Lord showed me this picture of the street sign and there's foliage over it. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord right now. You don't need to rip out the sign and get rid of the sign. You just need to remove the foliage that's covering the sign. And in my life and in your life, as a church, there's some things that God says, let's just remove some of those things so that the sign can be seen. Come on, that unforgiveness that they focus on. This is about me, and at least I've done my duty and come to church. That's a bit too radical for me. I'm fine how I am. All of them is foliage that's covering the sign of our lives. The effectiveness of a sign post is its visibility. But the second thing, as we pray and respond, is the effectiveness of a signpost is its accuracy. What do you mean, Steve? Well, I saw in the spirit that same signpost. Has anyone ever seen a signpost you've driven past and it was facing that direction, but now a four-wheel drive bumped it and is facing that direction or is bent over? Have you got the picture? The sign's still clear. There's nothing wrong with the lettering and the wording. But it's pointing in a direction that if followed, you cannot end up at the destination that the sign is meant to point to. Are you hearing? And I realize that too many times as the body of Christ, we can be visible and we can be vocal, but if we're doing so in a direction that does not end up at God, if there's anger and fighting and bitterness and complacency, if we're not denying ourselves, if we're not taking up our cross, if we're not following them, if we're not saying, God, all for you, Lord, burn in me, make me one who goes and seeks and saves, then people cannot end up at God. So it's so important. I've got to know God. I've got to know you. I've got to know your word. Because otherwise I drift. Anyone ever drift? I'm not running away from you, God. I just drifted a bit. Life sucks some of the life out of me. The disappointment, the unanswered prayer, oh God, got me to step back from praying and believing God. Remove what needs to be removed. Give what needs to be given. I wonder if you'd also stand at your feet.
Thanks for listening. For more content, head to our website, davidmccracken.org.